Good afternoon and welcome to a rambling virologist dream on 3CR replacing Living Free for the summer programming. On today's show, on the 12th of January, we've got a lady on the line now, a person called Fur Ann Well from She Talks. We've kicked off with a song to introduce her, Intergalactic Solitude by Bachelorette. Are you on the line now, Fur?
Raphael, hi. Yes, I am. Thank you for inviting me onto the show.
Well, Fur, what is She Talks?
She Talks is a platform, Raphael, that I created when I saw a need. I'm a public speaker and I do a lot of mentoring with women. And I realised that a lot of the training out there for public speaking, it doesn't necessarily address women in the way that women need to be addressed. There's a kind of a cookie cutter style of training out there, and I really wanted to enable women to find a platform that enabled them to come from their authentic self. Because when women speak, we speak in a way that we want to deliver our message as a gift. And in order to do that, we need to come from who we are rather than from a predetermined set of gestures and tonality. So it fundamentally, She Talks is in fact a network of inspired women.
What do you actually mean by a cookie cutter style of training?
Sure. A lot of the training out there, when they teach you to do public speaking, they get you to learn how to create gestures within this one square, and the square is below the chin and above the pelvic line, so below the abdomen, and then it's so that you're not looking like a chicken with your arms out beyond that elbow point. So they get you to move your hands and gesture within that square. And then things like if you're about to change a point or talk about when I move to a certain place, they ask you to travel across the platform or the stage to another point and stand there. So that's what I mean by cookie cutter. And when you go and see speakers speak, you can see it. You can see that they've been trained and that they're coming from this one way of moving and one way of walking and commanding the stage. Also within tone, they teach you that when you want to be really serious and people take you seriously, or when you want to do a sell pitch, you have to lower your voice like this and sound really convincing. But the thing is, most people are so savvy nowadays that we want people to be authentic. We really don't want people to try and sell us something and convince us of something.
Now,
does that make sense? Yeah?
Well, it certainly does. That I understand from a female why they would like an authentic style. But from a female perspective, why is it very, very important that females are inauthentic in what they actually do?
Well, for me, it's because women are the most important, not the most important, but they're incredibly valuable role models that we have. We have our mothers and our aunties and our sisters, and they really do have a powerful message that we can't help but absorb. So therefore, when people get up to speak, when women get up to speak, we really need those messages delivered in an authentic manner so that we can then, as the audience, absorb those messages in the most potent manner possible.
And like part of your background as absorbing messages, who were your role models that you're able to put into your life for?
Sure. In fact, they probably were mostly masculine role models. Someone like Anthony Robbins, for example, Robert Kiyosaki, and other people, just people generally. I think the biggest role models for me are people in my life who have overcome adversity and have carved their own way despite people saying to them, you should or you shouldn't do this and you should be this way and not that way. People who've really stood up for their own authentic presence. And it's not always easy when you're working in a workplace, for example, where, again, it's a cookie cutter style of working where there's an anticipated way that things should be done. And I'm really inspired by those people who have risked not being accepted in order to be exactly who they need to be and who they are and be in their authentic presence.
And with She Talks, it has self-esteem strategies, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I would say that at the basis, it is a self-esteem platform. It's probably the most effective self-esteem platform available out there. And the reason is, Raphael, is because when I'm speaking to women from heart to heart, as women, I mean, none of the bullshit, excuse my language, none of the glazing over things. We really get to the deeper core level, which what I mean by that is we're talking from a neuroscience point of view in which how our mind works. So it's all about mindset, overcoming blocks, removing those blocks. I guess you could say it's a little bit of Anthony Robbins, because when I did find Anthony Robbins, I had already read the books that he had read, and I felt very aligned to that sort of information. It's very profound what you can affect when you work on your mindset first before anything else. Things like, you know, in order to get something done, to come from a place of inspired action will create greater results than simply trying to push ourselves and motivate ourselves. Inspired action can create greater momentum. So those sort of mindset attitudes is what I implement in my courses.
Now, what kind of effect would facing adversity have on a person's self-esteem?
Say that again for me. Sorry, because I am calling. You've called in to me from the Great Ocean Road and it just dropped out.
Right, certainly. Now, we're talking with Fur Wow from She Talks. Now, Fur, what kind of effect does adversity have on people's self-esteem?
Oh, absolutely. It's incredible because there are people who perhaps don't seem to have had a lot of adversity in their life, but small setbacks definitely affect the way that person will view things or believe in things. And then for those of people who have had larger adversities, it can actually dramatically change the way that they present themselves to the world and in the world and even to themselves. It can shut people right down. So if someone's been through a lot of trauma, it can really shut down their authentic presence because they're coming from a place of needing to be guarded, resistant, protective. Certainly people I've noticed with disabilities, for example, they come from a place of probably a better place because they're coming from a place of I'm going to let you know who I am, and they tend to step into their authentic presence more. People who've had smaller adversities all the way along in life, it's funny, I find that they're the ones that have the most blocks because they don't have as much impetus to step into their authentic presence and to claim their right to be who they are. They tend to have gotten sort of like a pebble in the ocean or a stone in the ocean. It gets rounded and pummeled just over time, gets diminished, you know.
Now, Fur, when it comes down, what are some of the really practical strategies that you would employ when you're doing the She Talks platform to empower females to help build their self-esteem?
Sure. I take a lot of what I've learned from acting and drama courses, also from I've had a radio show myself, and there's aspects there that come into play just about people can not see you and they're hearing you. Other aspects to do with sports psychology. But when I run a workshop, we do things that don't seem to have anything to do with public speaking. And I get the women straight away. There's no tables and chairs set up and we stand in a circle, but we start talking straight away. And what that does is because women are talking and getting to know each other and I'm asking questions such as, tell me about a child that's inspired you in your life. And the reason for that question is it usually the child that they bring up and the thing that that child does is something they wish they were doing themselves. And then we're talking and yet we're standing. So women don't know what to do with their hands, but because we're talking and it's interesting, they're getting comfortable with standing in front of an audience and not having a pocket to put their hands in or not having a chair to lean on. So So I do a lot of practices like that where they're not really aware of what they're getting comfortable with, but in fact they are.
Now, it's an interesting analogy that you brought up, Fur, about what is the child that actually does inspire you. Is that children usually are very, very, very spontaneous and keep it in the moment and being very, very authentic. When people actually talk about what is the child that actually does inspire them, that can bring up some very, very powerful emotions. How do people actually cope with if it triggers something?
Sure, I understand that. If someone is in a raw moment, I certainly would ask them if we need to stop as a group or if they'd like to come aside with me or if they need to have a moment. But there's always... it's a really safe environment because it's all women, and I think there's just that feeling automatically that it's a circle of trust. Nothing like that has happened. In fact, most people, because I'm speaking from very much from a... We're talking, when I present it to them, I say to them, let's bring up a child in your life that's done something that has inspired you that's positive. So it's always put in that light. So I find that women aren't going the other way with that. And what comes up is, that kid, they do what I want to do. I wish I was that confident. Well, they were that confident once. And a powerful memory, when we can recall a powerful memory and entertain that powerful memory, we have more ability to step into that scenario ourselves. It's like if you try to imagine what it would be like to live in Africa or Switzerland and you've never been there and you've never seen pictures, it would be very difficult to paint that scenario. But if you can get a realistic dream happening and you can grow that dream and get the women to entertain that dream, it becomes very much a reality for them. They feel themselves being able to step into that and embrace that. And it is part of who they are anyway.
Now, Fur, I noticed that you said with the dreams is that there's a qualification adjective in there, realistic. Why is it important to make the dreams realistic?
Why is it important? Well, everyone has dreams. I think one of the most beautiful things that humans do is create goals and set dreams. I mean, people set New Year's resolutions. It absolutely brings us alive and inspires us, and it's very exciting to reach a goal or a dream, much more than buy a car or a book. I mean, it just has that really deeply fulfilling potential. Why is it important to bring those alive? Because people want them alive. They want to be that dream, and people are constantly entertaining dreams but not knowing how to make them a reality. And that's something that I'm very good at, and I very much enjoy helping people to expand on where they're at and get them to create the momentum to go where they need to go and fulfill and step into that picture. One of the things we do is claim our expert status. So many women, so I do a thing called a triad, and so two women, we'll pair up all the women in the group, they sit opposite each other in a chair in a neutral position, relaxed, without judgment, and they look into each other's eyes. One is the receiver and one is the one who's making the claim. The one who's making the claim is saying, I am the expert at what I know to be true. Now, there is no purer statement than that, no truer statement than I am the expert at what I know to be true. And the person receiving simply remains open and receptive with a soft gaze, or that person is repeating that as often or however they need to repeat that statement, and they're receiving it. And I actually had eight of the women become teary or emotional, but the emotion was like an uncapping or releasing because they at first didn't believe it to be true, but at the same time they knew it was true. It's just they realized that they'd built this story or created this scenario or belief that they weren't worthy. So that's the important work that needs to happen with a lot of women. There's quite a history, Raphael, with women believing that they're less than or unworthy in many aspects of their life. And this is the one thing I'm really passionate about working with.
Well, we're actually going to move on to that subject about females that are feel unworthy. But in the meantime, we'll be having a short community announcement first. We're going to play a song, 99 Love Balloons by Nina, and we'll be back in a few minutes talking with Fur and Well from She Talks.
Wonderful, thank you.
Fliegen. 99 Love Balloons by Nina is a very energising song, just like the message of She Talks. Have we got Fur back on the line?
Yes, you do, and thank you for that. Thanks, Raphael.
As I said, 99 Love Balloons is a very, very energising song, like the message of She Talks. But what are some of the examples of females in history who have had troubles like being recognised for being authentic for who they were?
Oh, one of my favourite inspirational women is Maya Angelou. certainly she has a history quite similar to mine, where she was raped as a child and struggled to be seen or heard, which is quite incredible. No voice whatsoever. And certainly she was a black woman, so she was coping with that as well, with the aspect of being seen and heard. But something just kept calling out to her. Same with me. It was just, you know, there's, the world expects you to sort of be a certain way in order to be accepted. But when there's a greater calling within you, you need to step out and follow your own voice and create your own journey in your own life. And so that's why Maya Angelou is a great inspiration to me, because that's in fact what she did. She ended up just speaking up and speaking out and writing books, even though initially not accepted. And then it was actually she's widely accepted. She's a well-known public figure, now deceased.
Now, is that, that's one person as a female that has overcome a lot of things and become very authentic and actually become a recognised expert. Are there,
Oprah Winfrey. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. She's done amazing things. Again, she has a history of sexual abuse from family members, and she kind of winged it, and I love that about her, because she had such a determination to not let life get her down. She faked being a TV presenter, and they loved her guts so much, and they knew she wasn't skilled and hadn't done the things that on her CV, but they loved her guts, and that's how she got her start. And she, the thing I admire about Oprah is she is working at it every day. She is very conscious of who she is being in the world.
Right. Okay, well, listen, we're talking about being very authentic here. I think there was a book that came out last year called Fierce and Fabulous.
Yes, correct. That's
and I think it might be a really interesting point to actually talk a little bit about. I think that you, from memory, is that you were one of the people that were interviewed for this book.
Yes, I was. There were 15 of us women, entrepreneurial women running businesses that support women in the community, certainly not excluding men. None of us, in fact, exclude men. If men wanted to be in my workshop, I most certainly would have them.
Right. Well, is it from the Fierce and Fabulous point of view, talk us about what did you actually cover? Why were you actually chosen as the role model to be put in the book?
Sure. Why the book was published and the women were brought together is we're all women who overcame great adversity, the sort of adversity that that you wonder why or how the person ever got through that, and people want to know the how and the why, and not only just how you got through it, how you came out the other end and created a very successful, fulfilling life. And it was basically, it's my life story, or some of my life story, and then just what I went through. In one of the things I talk about is turning points, where I walked into my home and I thought, there's too many negative memories when I look at different things in my different books, ornaments, clothes. I stripped my whole home and I refurnished, I just redecorated, I got new clothes so that I could recreate new memories and only positive memories, only the memories that I wanted. So it's those sort of things that all of us women talk about. So I guess they're like tips or strategies, if you like.
Yeah, look, it's very interesting that you actually made the comment that you went through and you cleaned the house out to create an environment. It's really, to me, it sounds like making an environment that you felt safe, secure and
yes.
happy in.
Yes.
And look, and that really touches me a bit, because I actually did a similar thing quite a number of years ago, where I literally have replaced all my furniture and a whole lot of clothes to create what I actually wanted to. But I noticed that from the She Talks that you've actually said that sometimes men would be welcome to go to a workshop if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that you're actually got coming up in 2017 is being an assistant coach with a
yes.
women's football team.
Yes, I do. I'm very. I was actually approached to fulfil that role. It took me some time to think about it, because I don't, in fact, follow football. Although, having said that, I played 2 years of mixed football and absolutely loved it. But now I've accepted the role and I'm very excited. My role will be to, I'll be doing everything to do with mindset. It's neuroscience based, it's psychology based. It's just about, again, moving past any beliefs or blocks, and moving beyond pain, which is also can be another barrier, and helping those women to get to an elite level or at least produce the best results that they're aiming for themselves. This is it's Ormond Women's Football Team. They're an amateur team, which is perfect because I'll be an amateur coach in training. I'll be learning all the strategies of the game and all the nutritional aspects and fitness regimes that the women need. We'll work together. There's the head coach, Mark Horton, and two other line coaches. One is fitness and the other one is strategies, and myself doing the psychology mindset. And together we will enable those women to move into the VFL. That's the aim, to bring them up to that level and that standard, to move them into professional football.
Well, so She Talks also does mentoring as well. Yes. Now, relating this to mindsets, is this part of the reason that you might be one of the assistant coaches at Ormond, because of your ability to mentor? And how do you actually go about mentoring people, Ferdy?
Sure. Well, I'm actually part of the body. I'm part of RMIT. I'm one of their mentors there. So I do a lot of business mentoring and mindset mentoring, whatever's necessary. Having had two startup businesses, actually more than that really, but I'd say two in the last 10 years, I do business training as well, but I also do mentoring. There's a young lady called Ali Shiva. She's part of my theatre group, actually, but we work so well together that I'm now going to be training her as a speaker and taking her on a public speaking circuit around schools, high schools, and I'm really excited about that. So all of my mentor situations are quite specific to the person themselves.
Right, and with the mentoring, is that I think you've got some workshops that are coming up around May this year.
Yes. Yeah, a link to the event that I'll be running as part of Melbourne Knowledge Week, Shaping the Future of Melbourne.
And what are the details of the event of Melbourne Knowledge Week about your specific event?
Yeah, sure. Look, it's called She Talks My Big Idea, and I'm bringing together 20 women to share their bold insights and bright ideas that will shape the future of Melbourne. Everything from health, science, nutrition, personal development, you name the topic, environment. We will have 20 women, and each will cover a different topic. I'll be giving them training at no cost to them, so that they can distill their message down to the essence and be able to deliver it in the most impactful and profound manner that they can, in order to inspire the audience to take action. What we aim to have as an outcome is for the audience members to then come and meet the speakers afterwards, and then maybe take on a project together or go off and do a project with a children's family or a friend, to leave a legacy of some sort in order to shape the future of Melbourne. So that will be held at either RMIT or La Trobe Uni. Both have offered to sponsor the event. I'm just not sure who I'll go with yet.
Well, that's just one of those really, really exciting things that actually happens with She Talks, because if this is about empowering females, it's creating opportunities for people to create their own voice.
Yes. Yeah, and then to go from there, and I mean, out of this event, what I'm hoping is that women have been, these are women who are aspiring speakers, never spoken before, but aspire to speak, have a burning message, and then what that will do is open the door for them, start their own project, business, what have you. And that's what I'm all about. There's room for everyone, you know, and I really believe that the most fulfilling thing that we can all do is pursue our own dreams. Authentically, of course.
And speaking of fulfilling dreams, is that what kind of commitment is involved to participate in the workshops, My Big Idea?
Yep, absolutely. One of the recommendations, requirements, is that the women participate in a one-day workshop once a week, 3 months. And I think if you really do want to be a speaker, you would jump at that. That's an amazing opportunity for a woman at no cost. to them, and then to be given a platform to stand up and speak. There'll be media coverage, there'll be all sorts of social media coverage, the university will cover it as well. So it's a really lovely opportunity.
Well, is it part of public speaking is the ability to improvise, Fer?
Yes.
Now, how do you feel if I give you one word? Are you willing to talk for 60 seconds on it?
Yeah, absolutely, Raphael.
Okay.
No problem.
The word is integrity.
Ah, great word. I love the word integrity. Integrity is definitely a mindset. Integrity is something that, you can have a level of integrity through life that you have, but it's something that I believe is worthwhile working on. So really, when we have and work on integrity and we feel it within ourselves first, and that we feel that our integrity is that we are viewed as having integrity, there's a level of self-worth and confidence there that cannot be faked. Integrity is to have integrity, is when you are coming from authentic presence. And people get a little confused about authenticity because it's hard to know when we're authentic because the world expects, there are places in the world that expects us to be in a certain way. And sometimes we do have to be, like we say please and thank you out of obligation or bless you when someone sneezes. That's not what I'm talking about. Authentic presence is when we're continually developing ourselves and working to honour a dream and our deeper core beliefs, the truth within us. And integrity is part of or linked to authentic presence, because when we are constantly going, is this for me? Is this right for me? Is this what I want to be doing? Is this the direction in which I wish to go? My relationships with these people, what I want to be, having, is this how I want to be? That's all part of integrity. So
well,
we're building.
You've actually done extremely well there. This is the benefit of actually why Furwell does the public speaking. She has just spoken off the cuff there for approximately 2 minutes, and I have got no doubt this could go quite on for some time, which might be a good reason that if there's the opportunity with my big idea, why it might be an idea for people to put their hand up and say, yes, I could possibly get the training to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Fer, you've mentioned that you've done some drama training and acting. Why is that important to develop a person's self-esteem and confidence and freedom?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do encourage my participants and any women that I speak to, and I did mention it in the Fierce and Fabulous book, that anything that enables you to practice being who you are, or to practice being in front of an audience, or to practice spontaneity, or to tap into just the reservoir of your mind and your being, are really valuable practices to do. Thing about drama, and I do use of my theatre practices in my workshops, as I was saying, like that off the top of my head, there would be a time where if you put me on the spot, my mind would go, oh, do I know if I'm going to be saying the right thing? What do they want to hear from me? And you start to question, and therefore you freeze up. In drama training, you do things like impromptu training, and it enables you to just free your mind and just let what is in there flow and trust the process. And that's the beautiful thing about acting. There's a lot of trusting the process, and it's a beautiful craft, and there's a lot more to be said about it, and I don't want to ramble on, even though this is the Rambling Purologist show.
Well, is it? Thank you very much for that, Fer. But let's say, is it, as part of your workshops, is there opportunity, do you teach meditation as well?
I don't teach meditation, but certainly if need be, I would recommend meditation to women. The thing that I more recommend, because people are aware of meditation, I do mindset practices, and I ask people to create rituals morning and night to bookend their day. So when people get up, to have a rant of positive appreciation, and before they go to bed, a rant of a positive appreciation, because life can get in the way, problems can get on top of us, things can get us down, and before you know it, if you're not paving the way for a better way of thinking, you can end up in a negative state or just flat, you know, lacking enthusiasm. And when we're flat and lack enthusiasm, we lack inspiration and we lack inspired action and we don't feel like doing anything. But through a rant of positive appreciation, it literally, it elevates the mood and it puts us into a better way of feeling and thinking. And from there, it's a step off point to having energy for the day and feeling inspired to do the things that we want to do in order to fulfill our dreams.
Well, Fer, is that part of this, like positive affirmations or positive rants?
I wouldn't call them affirmations. Just I try to avoid that word because people tend to think that's an overlay of what they're feeling,
right,
and
so
that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you can just go pointing out things that you actually 100% authentically do appreciate.
Oh, is it, thank you very much, Fer, because there is a distinction there which I wasn't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do, as part of these positive rants, do you actually encourage mirror work?
You mean, yes, I do mirror work within my workshop.
Would you like to explain the concept of mirror work?
Sure. So you part, once again, the women partnered, and one, I put on a lovely piece of music, which is generally something most people can enjoy moving to because there's different beats in it and they can move to different timings. One person starts moving very slowly, however they feel inspired to move, no judgment, and the person follows them, mirroring, meaning the same, but it would be one person's right arm, the other person's left arm. You're working together. You want to feel the synchronicity and the connection, and if you're moving and that person can keep up, you then slow down because you want them to be on the same trajectory as you. And this is a really beautiful concept in public speaking that isn't used out there. When we stand in front of our audience, rather than thinking, I've got to say the words in this order, deliver it this way, it's got to be perfect for me, the speaker, rather I want people to embody, to embrace their audience and allow the audience to be on the same journey. So feeling the audience, are they at the same place as we are when we're speaking? Do we need to stop and say, is everyone following me? Or do we need to open that topic up a little more, get everyone on the same page? You know what I mean.
Oh, well, Fer, we've actually, the line is breaking up a little bit here. We're going to go to a song called Avant Gardener by Courtney Barnett. We will be calling you back and seeing if we've got a better line. We're talking with Fer Angwell from She Talks.
Thanks, Raphael. Talk to you soon.
Okay, we'll be talking back in a few minutes, but we're playing Avant Gardener by Courtney Barnett, and it's on the air just now. Okay, we've been listening to Avon Gardner by Courtney Barnett, and we should have Fur Ann Whale from She Talks back on the line. Are you back on the line now, Fur?
Yeah, thank you.
Now, there was a great line that came out of the song Avon Gardner, which said, "I want to pull out the weeds. I'm having trouble breathing." Now, is that? I think that's a very poignant part of She Talks. That if a person has come from a lot of trauma, can that have a major impact on their life?
Yeah, it does. I do have some women who, in my workshops, who quite clearly have been through a lot of experiences in which it's made them feel less than and sort of disabled them in a sense, limited the way that they interact in the world and made them withdraw. So we, in order to have a voice, we need to really trust in ourselves, and that's the first building block, is learning to trust ourselves.
And how difficult is it to, how long would it take for a person to learn to trust themselves first?
It doesn't take long. It's just a matter of making the commitment and making those steps. The thing is, a lot of people entertain, they don't mean to, but in the back of their mind, they're entertaining that story, that thing that happened to them, and perhaps they're more positive than they used to be, but it really takes. You just have to commit to not recreating that story, not talking about it, not entertaining it, in order to let it go. And that was the only thing that worked for me, actually, was the only way I was going to get past any of the sexual abuse that had happened to me or the physical abuse, and there were, it happened multiple times as a child. The only way I was going to get past that was to not think about it. And it wasn't that I was pushing it down or putting it aside or pretending that it didn't happen. What I was doing was choosing my life and creating my life the way I wanted it to be, hence the whole redecorating my home. I decided that what had happened had happened. It was a part of my history and it was a part of me. But at the same time, I believed that I could recreate myself. And in fact, I did. I came from not trusting anyone and not even myself to now being the most liberal, trusting, least judgmental person that I've ever been. And in fact, I feel very free in the world compared to how I did feel many years ago.
Well, it sounds like you've reached a platform of happiness and contentment, Fur.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just in the last couple of minutes before we wind up this interview with Fur Ann Whale from She Talks, we've got 2.5 minutes. What are your final thoughts that you'd like to leave listeners with, Fur?
My final thoughts for anyone who's aspiring to be a speaker is, one, get in touch with me. You can get in touch with me through the Facebook page, She Talks. The other thing is, if you're not quite ready yet, every day set a ritual. When you wake up, do a positive rant in the morning and at night. Do it throughout the day. It will actually change the mood that you're in, and it will create more inspiration for life. It'll shift you from where you were to where you want to be. And write things down. Create dreams. Dream. Dream more. Ignore reality if you need to. If reality's not what you want, ignore it. You know, pay your bills, pay your rent, do all your not negotiables. Not negotiables are important. Know what they are. Get on top of them. Make money, pay your bills, make money, pay your rent, and then dream. And step into the life that you want for yourself and start claiming that, you know, start trusting that you have the ability, and go do workshops, go do whatever it takes. There's a lot of free stuff in Melbourne. Go do whatever it takes to meet new people, be around positive people, learn about yourself, trust yourself, be more confident. Come and do one of my workshops. I run free workshops as well. So, you know, I'm always there to support people along the journey, the whole way.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Fur Ann Whale from She Talks as part of a Rambling Biology stream. We're going to have to say goodbye to you now, Fur.
Raphael, thank you so much for searching me out and asking me to be on the program today. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much. We have been talking with Fur Ann Whale from She Talks, spreading a message about empowerment, self-esteem strategies, and how to create a life beyond a person's dreams when they come from a position of adversity. Now, is it Around the Biology Stream has been part of summer programming, replacing Living Free, which will be back next week on the 19th of January. Now, the purpose of Around the Biology Stream, it was about living ambitions and actioning, living dreams and actioning ambition. And over the course of this show of 4 broadcasts, we've had the Bold Polar Bears into the studio, and they've been talking about how to action their dreams into playing music, which they've done very well for around 20, 25 years, and the cast members have changed in that time. Next part of the series, we spoke with Neil Cole, who is a playwright and author, along with Samuel McDermott, a film director. Again, it is part of entertainment about no matter what those dreams are, to actually try to make it easy about the practicalities on how a person could actually do these type of things. And that, I believe, was an important message as we've just come past into 2017, how a person could develop a how-to manual to approach life. In the final show, the third show that I did with Around the Biologist's Dream, I spoke with Kathleen Horsley, who is the Arts and Cultural Engagement Officer from the City of Port Phillip Council, and that was to give an idea of the practicalities on if a person was involved in a drama, where they might actually find grants that might be available, what type of theatre groups such as Spark Theatre, Fog Theatre and Rake Theatre might, and how to become involved, people to gain the practical experience. A person called Carla Mittenlaher, who had been involved with drama for 10 years, who again had come from a position of adversity and had been able to move on to a life and use drama as a mechanism to be happy and find inner peace, freedom and happiness, which was fantastic. And a lady called Justine Sless, who is the Find the Funny facilitator, and that's about comedy. And comedy is a big part of life, being able to not take yourself person so seriously, but to learn to actually laugh. And to round out the whole series of A Rambling Virologist's Dream, I thought it would be a very good idea if we did speak from someone who did do mentoring, someone like Fur Whale from She Talks, because being able to have a person's guide, someone to talk them through when times are very, very difficult, I think things makes life a lot easier. Next up on 3CR, we have got Kids With Attitude. They're on at 2 o'clock. We're going to say, I'm going to say thank you very much to a few people. Andy Britt, who has panelled for the first three shows of A Rambling Virologist's Dream. Michael Smith, who has stepped up from to panel for the last show for A Rambling Virologist's Dream. Thank you very much, Michael. He hosts a show called Let Your Freak Flag Fly. We're going out with a final song called Curfew by 99. Thank you very much, and keep listening to Kids With Attitude.